Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Marlene Watkins, part two. I'll give a reflection and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is Marlene Watkins from the North American Lourdes Volunteers. This is the second show we're doing with her. We already did one, but it's such a great topic, Lourdes, so we're going to do a second.
Yeah, I'd like to encourage you also to read her book, Everyday Miracles of Lourdes. But now we're going to go to reflection with Father Mark.
I remember one time being led in a guided meditation about meeting Jesus on the beach and what that would be like. And I was amazed at how powerful. If you can just imagine that for a moment. Imagine yourself on an isolated beach and meeting Jesus. We think of the calls that Jesus made on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, of Simon of Andrew, of James and John. Come, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. This call, this personal connection, this call to follow him, whatever our state in life is, to belong to him, to be close to him. What would you do if you met Jesus, just you and Jesus on the beach? Would you embrace him? What would that be like to be held by Jesus? We know that there can be great, great difficulties in life, the crosses, the sufferings, economic challenges, personal struggle for holiness and sin in our life. That can be real discouraging at times, and we can forget that Jesus is holding us. He's embracing us. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is Isaiah 43. It says, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." That idea that we're his, we belong to him, that's where our identity is, that he reveals who we're called to be, reveals us to ourselves when we encounter the love of Christ. We find a meaning in life, a purpose in life. And to know that we belong to him, he's holding on to us, that yes, we repent of sin, turn back to him, and we hold on to him and he holds on to us. All that is in the embrace of Christ. Imagine that. Pray about that.
Marlene Watkins, it's great to have you here in EW10 and Life on the Rock. You're always a brilliant light here.
Well, thanks to have us. I'm always happy to see you. Love to see you in Lourdes.
I know. You keep on inviting me. I'm glad you don't forget about me. Every now and then I'll get a text from you or an email and like, you want to come to Lourdes this year? But I've been to Lourdes twice. And I have to tell you, it's meant like so much for me in my own priesthood, you know, my own story, I think. You know, the last show we were talking about, you know, healing and grace, you know, kind of going into that. But I know, like, my experience in Lourdes, I believe in my own soul, you know, a great amount of healing when I went to Lourdes, in my relationship with the Lord and other people. And we all need healing.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's where we left off the last show, is like some people would say, I don't think that I need healing. I mean, when I think about healing, I think about people that are sick and limping around and with diseases and liver cancer and all these things. But healing is for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, talk about that reality.
We can say, you know, for me it was, well, God, whatever grace I'm in greatest need of.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we think of it as a grace and not just a healing, because grace is healing. It leads us in a right direction.
Yeah.
It takes us where we need to be. And being healed of something that, you know, somebody said to me that they didn't realize till they went to Lourdes. They didn't really think they needed healing, just like you said. Mm-hmm. And then they realized that they had sins they had never confessed for different reasons.
Yeah.
And they left them there.
Yeah.
And, you know, Father Dominic says it's like a, you know, a holy hit and run. There's the confessionals there. Mm-hmm. And you can go in and go to confession and, you know, probably never see that priest again because there's a grace there. You know, Bernadette, after the first time she sees Our Lady, makes her first confession.
Yes.
She goes to see a priest. And that's what we do on pilgrimage. It's a way to go, and it's really a renewal, you know, in grace.
I tell people that it's about confession, the Eucharist, you know, the Mass itself, the Rosary. It's really, and also you can't go to Lourdes without serving. I think that's such an important part of the Lord's experience that the Lord wants us, and Our Lady wants us to experience. It's not just to go to Lourdes and to see the grotto and then walk around the town, but actually to touch the sick.
Yeah.
To touch their flesh. I mean, that's at the crux and the important, that's where you touch the flesh of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, when you touch the flesh of other people.
And I think too that, you know, for us in our experiences, some of the people come and they're serving in the dining room, they're serving the meals. You know, we need to have our food to eat. We need to have it given to us. There are rooms to be cleaned. You know, these are really very Bernadette-like service. And in the end, the pilgrims are talking about the people who were serving them the food, the young people that were pushing them in their wheelchairs.
Yep.
It was that small contact that was consistent and loving that made the whole experience a very real experience of, you know, it's, and you know, if you think you go home and see your mom, you know, it's like that to go to Lourdes. It's like going home to see your heavenly mother. And there is something in that offering and giving. And, you know, we had this one woman and she said, I stayed in her home when I was speaking about Lourdes in Michigan. And I said, you know, would you consider coming with us as a volunteer? She said, oh dear, I'm too old for that. I said, if we ever needed you, would you come? Oh, I would, but I think I'm too old. And she was in that time in her 70s. And years went by and I called her and I said, could you come? At this point, she was in her 80s. And she said, are you sure? I said, we have someone coming in their 90s and I think she needs to be with someone her same age who's had a somewhat, in many ways, a similar life. Well, it winds up that this woman came back to the church in her 90s after more than 60 years because there was somebody there of the same age who understood how it is that she left the church, what had happened. And, you know, it was the grace of being a companion to someone. So we all think of, oh, we've got to, you know, lift somebody on a stretcher or push somebody in a wheelchair. And we do need to do those things. But also the ministry of presence.
That's
Of grace, of listening to somebody.
Right.
Of, you know, of being able to share the experience of our faith with someone who needs to hear that. So there's all kinds of service, but you're right, that's touching the sick and the wounded, especially when somebody's dying. You know, there's not a lot of
which
time.
Which I've experienced too.
Oh, yes.
A lot of people that are on the pilgrimage with you that you take over are not people that are well.
No.
You're sometimes carrying these people over the seats, you know, in the airplane to their, you know, it's not easy, in other words.
No,
it's not easy.
There's people on ventilators.
Yes.
People with kidney dialysis.
Yes.
The insurance companies won't cover the dialysis out of country. And when we asked why, they said, it's impossible.
Yeah.
Well, it's not impossible.
No.
We do that.
Yeah.
And we just have to pay for it in France. But and then there's Andrea's Wish for that. But, you know, so, you know, people who are very sick, but often the people who are really the sickest, it's not just for the people who are terminally ill with cancer, it's for people who are sick and suffering deep in the woundedness.
Yeah.
And all different kinds of woundedness, not just the physical, but the emotional, the mental, the psychological. Those are great sufferings.
Well, turning to your book, you know, thank you so much for writing that book, and I'm so glad the EWTN published your book. And I have to say, you know, my favorite story so far in the book is yours.
Oh.
I know you don't like to
know that.
I know you don't like to talk about yourself.
Yeah,
I started reading the book, and I'm like, I think I know who this is. You know, I didn't want to turn to see what it was because I'd recognize kind of the way that you talk, you know, about your, and I didn't know a lot of your healing story with agoraphobia and anxiety. I think so many people can relate to that, you know, because it's not verifiable. You can't see it on the,
An ultrasound. I think since COVID too, a lot of people were reluctant to go back out. Many people who don't, or they don't go out the way they used to. So before COVID, probably agoraphobia would have been, you know, kind of a rare thing you didn't hear too much about. But now people really can relate to that anxiety and that stress. And then the longer that you stay in, the harder it is to get out. And then it's just, you know, it's like a frog in water. Just pretty soon you're in it, and it's, you don't even know how deep and badly you're in there. So I think for me, I would say to somebody who's suffering in that, there is a healing that can take place. You know, post-traumatic stress disorder, they say there is no cure. Well, God is the divine physician. There is a cure for everything in God. There is. It doesn't mean he gives it to us or each of us or all of us every time. He knows what's best for us. But there is nothing that God cannot heal.
And I believe that's what you said in the bath, like when you about ready to be washed with the water, you said, whatever I need the most, God. You know, you didn't ask for a specific cure. You just, God, whatever I need the most.
And you know, if you'd have said to me that's what it would be, I would have never thought of it, and I would have never believed it. I didn't even know I needed it. You know, I think that maybe we really don't know what we need. So, you know, I liken it, you know, I think a lot of us to God's like Santa Claus in a lot of ways. You know, give me this, give me that, I need this. Or even better yet, I know what my handsome prince needs, or I know what my sons need, or you know, God knows what we need. But it's so hard for us to let go of that. So if we have a particular pain or suffering, we're focused on that and not maybe on the whole of all that we need. So to surrender and say, God, whatever grace I need the most, what healing do I need the most? What healing do you want to give me? And and we have a generous, awesome God. And for me, it was, I believe, total forgiveness. I mean, this man broke into the apartment where I was babysitting, and I was young, and you know, I just, it had deeply wounded me, and I just didn't even realize how much. And you know, it's sort of like that after a long period of time, it just was like, you know, like lukewarm to me, as they say in the Bible. Like, I didn't hate him. I didn't know him. It just was lost to me that and buried in deep inside me. But it's just like a splinter. If you leave it in there, it will fester, even if you don't notice it anymore. Eventually, it can do harm more than you could realize. So for me, that was a great grace. And I was just in awe of it. And awe is a word we say, oh, awesome. But true awe.
God is amazing.
He is.
Yeah, let's pick up with that when we come back with that point about healing. About, I think some people walk around not even knowing that they need it. Yeah, let's start there.
Okay, great.
Marlene, I've been to Lourdes twice with you, and one of the times I went, the first time, I believe, I won't say who it was, but the family, but I think we both know who it is. And you know, they wanted a cure for a family member, and they were really devout people, really simple people. And you know, after the, you know, going down into the water, there was no instantaneous cure. There was no cure of the person that was, you know, sick. But there was something in the family. I believe it was the father. I think everybody receives something at Lourdes, everybody. But it was what I experienced in this particular father is I saw like how angry he was. I saw a lot of you know, self-hatred, anger, like so much so in his face. It looked like his face was like cringed and like tight. And when he went to the baths and then into the confessional, I'll never forget, like the guy looked like an angel. I'm like, I thought I was seeing things. Like, what's going on here with this guy? And that happens all the time.
Yes, it does.
Like the miracles of the confessional and the Bass.
Well, you know, they have the Medical Bureau at Lourdes.
Yeah.
And I say that's, and the next door, building over, I say that's the Miracle Bureau. That's the confessionals.
Yeah.
So the Medical Bureau is for the science, and the miracles comes out. And
I think, love that.
You know, do you priests and you know, friars, I remember going to confession once in my parish, mm-hmm. and a man went in the same way you're describing, Father. He was angsting you just going, and he came out, and I went in and I said, Father, you can't see, but the man who just came out of the confessional, whatever you said or did, of course, it's the grace of the seal of the confessional, but the grace of that sacrament. I said, whatever he had, I'll take some of that. You know, I said, but Father, and he said, thank you for that. But I said, he just looked, heavenly. Mm. He went in looking like purgatory or hell, but he came out looking like heaven.
Yep.
And that's the grace of that sacrament. And we know that Bernadette, after the first time she sees Our Lady, she goes to see the priest who makes her first confession.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's part of the beauty of the pilgrimage to Lourdes is that so many people go to confession. And there's mm-hmm. a large amount of Catholics, faithful and fallen away, who don't go to confession. Fallen away, you could say, okay, they're fallen away, they don't go to confession, it's not okay, but I can understand how they're not going. But there are a lot of people going to Mass occasionally or even every week, but they don't go to confession.
Yeah.
And it is the best, I say it's the sacrament I love all the way home.
Yes.
Because, you know, maybe you dread going, but that's a beauty of pilgrimage, is it takes you out of the ordinary and puts you in the extraordinary and the opportunity of the confession. And you're like the sacraments on tap, walking around on the...
It's the best thing I do.
Yeah, it's walking around on the pilgrimage, you can say,
healing.
Hey, Father.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's healing.
I love it.
That's the healing of the confessional. Absolutely paramount on the pilgrimage.
Yeah, I think one of the things that you've experienced, I think in more recent years, is the healing from the wounds of sexual abuse.
Yeah.
I mean, that needs to be talked about because so many people have been, you know, abused, violated in so many ways by clergy, by members of their family, by cousins, even fathers, grandfathers. I mean, you experience that like right up front, you know, and tie into that, like Our Lady, like whenever there's wounds against human sexuality, against chastity, the Immaculate Conception.
She's it.
That's what you say. Like the grotto, you go there. That's where you go for healing.
Well, we were on a pilgrimage. I think you might have been on it, Father. And there were 9 victims of priestly abuse on the pilgrimage. And there were 9 priests that happened to be on the pilgrimage. Mm. And coming in to the meeting with the priest when we arrive and have the schedule of who's going to hear confessions at which times, because we have them throughout the day and then also in the sanctuary. And, you know, in a grace, I really came to believe that if there's a problem with impurity, then purity would be the solution.
Yes.
And she is the Immaculate Conception.
Yep.
And, you know, I describe it as, you know, as a mother of 5 boys, you know, if one of, you know, when they were little, you know, daddy yelled at me or, you know. But, you know, I'm sure it was for good reason, you know, don't touch that or whatever it might be. But they would come to me as their mother. And I think for somebody who's been wounded, maybe if it's been by a man, maybe they want to go to their mother. In the same way, you know, maybe someone who's been wounded wants to go to our Lord. But there are people who need to have the gentleness maybe of Our Lady and her purity as the solution, the balm for the impurity that's been done.
Yeah.
There's also, thank you for talking about this, Father, because so many don't want to, but there are so many people suffering from these wounds and they're hidden and they're like a dirty secret that's kept. And it's not just confidentiality, it's that they just don't want to share it out of shame.
Yeah.
But there is a healing there, and there is a chapter in the book specifically about this.
Yes.
And someone who really finds, and you know, I've witnessed this and I have experienced this, that purity can be restored in a grace.
No doubt.
We can't undo what's been done. We can't, you know, we're not condoning this in any way. Mm-hmm. We're talking about healing. But right now we seem to be stuck in the horrific reality of what has happened to so many people. You're right, in families, in the church, in schools, in other places where, you know, this happens, the failure of, you know, sin. But we're so stuck in that, we're not talking about, we talk about the litigation, the wrongfulness, and how to correct, mm-hmm. but we're not talking about healing.
Yes.
Well, we're still stuck in trying to fix the problem, which is a human problem, which means it's going to be in humanity. We're not talking about healing. We're missing that people die without this healing. We need this healing. And, you know, how can we find that amidst all the pain and suffering? It is possible, and it is in a grace. And there's something about going into the baths, about going to the holy place, that healing is possible, and it does happen.
And can you talk about any specific, you know, healings without revealing any names, but just, you know, maybe something that somebody received,
yeah,
you know, from the wounds of sexual abuse?
Well, we've had many people come back to the church. Hmm. So some people who have been suffering from this wound, if it's happened in any way connected to the church, mm. have returned to the church mm. in a grace. Mm. We've had, you know, people who were victims as children
yeah.
or victims of crimes that have suffered these. They have come, you know, in their own way, understandably, maybe have not been able to be in the sacraments,
yeah.
but have found the way on the pilgrimage,
yes.
Have found the way through the virtual pilgrimage even of finding that healing
yeah.
That is needed. And sometimes it comes through the baths, sometimes it comes through the confessional, sometimes yes. it comes through the anointing of the sick.
Yeah,
and,
that's,
you know,
a big thing.
And a lot of, you know, Father, a lot of people think, I can only go for that if I, the
yes.
anointing, if I have cancer. But if you have been violated in that
yeah,
way and you
absolutely.
Are wounded.
Absolutely.
So you're inviting people in this sacrament
yep.
that, you know, and people will find that total wholeness,
mm-hmm.
like they have not felt whole or pure,
yep.
and then they find it in a grace and this healing through Lord's, through
yeah.
the sacraments. It's a
yeah.
beautiful grace. But it's a young girl who writes about being
yeah.
in the book, you know, the story about writing about her finding, you know, she suffered with this and didn't tell anyone, didn't tell her parents. She was just angry and bitter. And she
yeah.
came with us as a young student, you know, as a youth volunteer, and it changed her life.
I know we can continue this conversation, and I really, I wouldn't like to end here, you know, on such a topic that needs to be really unfolded and talked about more. But I want to encourage people that it'd be a great thing to come to Lourdes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be a great thing to look up the North American Lourdes Volunteers and to read your book and to go, especially, you know, I think abuse survivors, sexual abuse survivors,
yes.
Victims rather, I want to use that word victim, that the Lord wants, you know, you to go, to be healed. It'd be a great thing to do.
Yeah.
So Marlene, thank you so much for your witness and for your heart in taking people over to Lourdes.
Well, and thank you for coming.
Oh, you're welcome.
And for the other good priests who come and the deacons and all who come and make the pilgrimage possible for healing.
Very good. God bless you, Marlene.
Thank you, Father.
Take
God
care.
Bless you.
All right.
I really enjoyed the show, the conversation you all had, and man, she has given so much to this ministry, hasn't she?
Yeah, over 200 times going to Lourdes, and all the people that she has met and just brought to Our Lady. I think, you know, it's important to say that, you know, Our Lady brings such a comfort, you know, throughout salvation history. Even reading about her presence in the Bible itself, you know, do whatever He tells you. You know, she always is pointing people, you know, to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think going to Lourdes is like a pilgrimage, like bringing, you know, your woundedness, you know, your need for healing. And I think a lot of people don't even really realize they need to be
right.
healed or forgiven.
Right.
You know, sometimes
right.
people bury down stuff so deep in their life that they've never really dealt with it or talked about it before. But I think when people go to Lourdes, they experience like all that stuff coming up to the mm-hmm. surface.
Yeah.
I think the Blessed Mother yeah. has that effect on people.
Right.
Yeah.
I like the way Marlene said it, like going to Lourdes is going to see Our Lady.
Yes.
That there are these special places that's anointed with her presence and, you know, obviously she's asked for the miracle baths and things to be there, so she wants to work through this privileged place. You know, there's been so many deeds of power and miracles, yes, and just the presence of her healing. I love what Marlene said too about that being the Immaculate Conception, that she is the one that's all pure. And yes, that she can help us to have pure hearts. You know, St. Francis talked about that, to pray to the God with pure hearts, and we need grace for that.
Yeah, that's something that I've heard Marlene talk about a lot, especially in Lourdes, is whenever there are sins against purity, to bring those to the Blessed Mother, you know, the pure one, the Mother of God.
Yeah,
that she will intercede for us. Yeah. She wants us to be healed.
Yeah. And it's so beautiful too to go there. I've been there a couple times at least, and it just to see the faith of people going there. That's always an encouragement. See people come with real faith asking for help.
Yes, and their faith, I think people come there with faith, but they come away even with more faith, strengthened.
Yeah.
I think it's almost impossible, help would say, nearly impossible to go to Lourdes and not receive, something. Yeah. Everybody receives a grace.
Yeah. So even if you cannot go to Lourdes, Our Lady is there to comfort you, to be with you, to intercede for you. She is our Mother in the Order of Grace, Mother of the Church, our Heavenly Mother. She's praying for us all. May our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace, and may He bless you through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
Trail.